This is Will's Band of the Week for April 18th, 2022. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe studio.
Hey, good morning, everyone, or afternoon, or whatever time you listen to this. Hello.
Morning for us.
Morning for us.
Yeah. But, yeah, think about it. Some people are listening to this probably at midnight. Some are getting up in the morning at 6 or 7 a.m. and listening. Some are on their commute. Some are on a train. Think of all the experiences people are having as they listen to this.
Yeah, I'm usually either hiking or on a plane when I listen to the podcast.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Well, the only time I listen to it is when I edit it, and then I'm kind of done with it then. Every once in a while, sometimes I'll just go back to just see, well, how did that turn out, you know, and I'll just listen to some little, you know, snippet in the middle.
But, chunk of it, yeah.
But
you're on every one, so
yeah, I get to have the live conversation and then relive it through editing.
So. Right. Yeah. See, if I don't. I don't usually re-listen to the ones I'm on because then I would just be like, oh my gosh, that guy's such an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We haven't had you on since South by Southwest, right?
Yeah, I think so. Gosh, so it's been...
We could play the live report jingle and you could give 30 live reports if you want to do that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was, yeah, I think there was the kind of the preview show was the last one I was on. But yeah, that was super fun. Oh my gosh, I missed the post South by one. It was kind of a hectic time for me when I was traveling. But yeah, it was fun. I can't even, I was this morning, I was like, oh my gosh. Who did I see?
Yeah.
I was trying to remember more than 10. I know I saw like 35 shows or something, but it was just, yeah, what a blur. It's just so fun. Just there's so much happening and so much going on. And some of the bands I really liked, I'm like, what was the name of that band? And I'd have to like look back through my photos to see if I could decipher who that was, but because they were just brand new, but. Yeah, it was super fun. Good time.
You can imagine it happening that a few months from now, you hear a new album and you think, this is a good album. And then it dawns on you that you saw them at South by Southwest, right?
Exactly.
You see so many bands. It's pretty cool.
Right. Well, that was like with one of the bands on the podcast today. I was like, wait, didn't I just see them? Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So then after that, let's see. I saw some music. Saw some really good live music, more kind of Afrobeat stuff in Kenya, and then in the UK, I got to see a couple shows. So that was really fun too.
Oh, well, we better play the jingle, and you can give at least a little summary, right?
Oh, okay, sure.
If you don't get the jingle, it's like you're not getting full credit for the live reports, right?
Yeah. For exposing yourself to a bunch of unmasked people. Oh, my God. The UK is just like wide open now. It's like nothing, you know, you don't have to wear a mask anywhere, even inside of a show. And so that was a little bit of slightly stressful, but slightly liberating, but also stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of in that transition time. It's that way here now, too. Pretty much nobody's requiring. And, we live in an area where there's more masking than other parts of the state and the country.
Yeah.
But they've pretty much dropped it here, too. I think in the schools, the students are still wearing masks in the public schools. But, restaurants and music venues and everywhere, there's no more masks. So for better or for worse, whatever is left of the coronavirus, you're just going to let it burn through and hopefully be done with it.
Out. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yep.
But yes, we'll see. We talked about South By. That was really fun. And then saw some kind of like more local music in Kenya, which is really great. Some local kind of Afrobeat stuff. And then we were in the UK and got to see Charlotte Adigiri and Bullis Poopool. And they were amazing. That was a really fun show. That was in Bristol. And then it was the same night across the street, UVTV was playing. So kind of ran from one show to the next, which was really convenient. It was like right across the street. So, and totally different, you know, types of music and just totally equally as fun. So, that was a really fun night. And we talked about UVTV on the show, right? Or you and I think Craig, right? Or some.
I know that we talked about it on the podcast. Now I'm forgetting who the correspondents were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was good. Maybe Chris? I think he's a fan.
Maybe it was
anyway,
Chris.
Anyway, that was a good album, as I recall.
Yeah, it was really good. I guess they're from Florida. And yeah, they're just rocking out. So Bristol's a fun place. It was great. My daughter and her boyfriend came with us, and we just had a really good time. So yeah, I've been blessed with some live music lately. And I went and tried to see another band in London after dinner. The kids went back to the hotel, and I went out and waited in a long line. And it was this kind of, I guess, really famous like gay bar. And so had some interesting conversations in the line, and then lots of security. I don't know if they had security issues in the past or something, but it was like serious security, like going into the airport.
Wow.
And then I got down into the cave of the club, and the band had already finished, and now it was just house music. I was like, oh gosh, okay. But so that was, didn't I kind of, it was a near miss on that one. But and then actually me and Craig both had, we were on the waiting list to see Wet Leg. They premiered, well, it was the day their album came out. They were playing at Rough Trade Records in London, but it was sold out and we were both on the waiting list. And I didn't get in, and I'm not sure if Craig did, but I doubt it. Maybe he did. We haven't heard from him. So that's the suspense keeps hanging.
Wow.
But yeah, that was fun. We had a good time. And then this week, I'm supposed to go see Waxahachie, but then I need to run and see my mom. So I'm trying to find someone to, do you want to go to Waxahachie? You can just fly over, stay at my house, have a free ticket for you.
Wow.
Thursday night.
We'll relay that to Anurag, I think.
Right. Maybe he'll fly down.
Be a perfect candidate for that.
Yeah.
Spontaneous Waxahachie show.
Exactly. So, yeah. So that's great that, you know, music is at least happening. So,
yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, that you're doing pretty well with live reports, especially, you know, right, following South by Southwest to keep that going. It's kind of hard because, you know, just coming off of that is like, you know, where do you go from there? So, yeah. So, but I did see the Flaming Lips show that I talked about last week. And then, did you see the, that announcement of the show in, Atlantic City? That's sort of like hosted by Fred Armisen.
Yeah, that looks like an amazing lineup.
Frantic City, September 24th. So I'll read off some of the bands, but more in the order that I'm interested in them rather than, you know, the gig poster. Proto Martyr, The Ravenettes, Superchunk, Snail Mail, Yola Tango. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, definitely.
They've got Car Seat Headrest as like the top name, which is kind of weird to me. But then there's Shannon and the Clams, Control Top. I think I've listened to them a little bit.
Yeah, we've talked about them, I think.
Anyway, that's under serious consideration. I think I've never been to Atlantic City, And I've,
you haven't know, either. I've always kind of like never thought about going there. But
yeah, I've heard mixed things about it. Like some people say it's kind of trashy, but then they've got that boardwalk and
right.
Why not? You know, if it's an excuse to go there. It's funny because they say that this is the location is called the Orange Loop Amphitheater. And what's funny is that the amphitheater is a parking lot. That's what it is. It's a big parking lot. A big parking lot with a big stage. So, you know, maybe it'll work out fine. I mean, it doesn't sound cool to call it the Orange Loop parking lot, right?
Right. Well, I thought they were trying to just, you know, change the name of a Trump casino or something. Some, like, foreclosed casino.
Foreclosed casino, yeah. Yeah.
They could there's call some more shows coming up here. I'm going to see. Who am I going to see? I think 070 Shake and Snail Mail. A couple others here coming up in the next month or so. So, oh yeah, Hot Chip, I think, too, later in the month. So it'll be fun. Hopefully I'll have some more live reports to offer up.
Great. Great. Yeah. Well, we've got music to offer up this week, right?
Let's do it.
Fun stuff. Man, this is like, this is the Jeremiah Music Hour.
No.
And it's really been, it's been fun because I've been listening to these bands all week in my office, and it's a totally different vibe than some of the stuff we've listened to, and I think it's been really fun. So
good. Yeah, I hope, you know, it's definitely not maybe the typical stuff on the podcast, but hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully the listeners will find something new and fun to make their week go by a little smoother.
Yeah, let's hope so. Well, what do you think we should start with?
Up to you. I mean, what do you think?
Well, that's why I was deferring to you because, okay. like
well, one of the first one I have is Nola Ferjanya.
All right, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, she's it's amazing. I don't know. She's like probably 26 or 27. Grew up in London, I think, with her mom is kind of more has Barbadian heritage, I think, and her dad is from Turkey, I think. Or Turkish descent. Maybe they've been in London a long time as well. So she grew up in London, and I think she had an EP out maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then the album that really caught my eye was Miss Universe, which I think was my number one or number two of 2019. I'd have to look back, but it was really high up there, I think. Their new album is called Painless. Let's see. Pitchfork gives it a good review. And I liked it as well, definitely. It's like slower. It seems it's a little mellower. It was a little harder for me to get into than Miss Universe. There's a little, I think, less maybe hooks and stuff. But it's a little bit, it's introspective. It's a little bit kind of heart-wrenching at times. But by the end of the album, it seems to kind of come around and feel a little lighter. You know, and she kind of talks about a lot of topics that young people and young women in particular, I think, are going through. And what else to say about it? She's just got an amazing kind of almost like a husky voice kind of. And sometimes she kind of reminds me of like Sade. It's hard to, you know, I read somewhere that they kind of likened her to like King Cruel or Susie and the Banshees or Parquet Courts. And I was kind of like, huh, how did those go?
I saw that on the Wikipedia page. It's some publication. It said right. They've likened her material to King Cruel, Susie and the Banshees, Parquet Courts, and the Breeders, which like, it doesn't sound like any of those to me. But maybe when you mix them all together, you get something like this. I don't know. That's funny. Yeah.
We need Barrett here, that's for sure. But yeah, so she got a lot of good reviews for her last album, and I think this one too is just pretty favorable reviews. What else to say? Maybe we just listen to a track and then see where we go from there. See what you think. I don't know. I mean, normally I try not to pick number one, but just straight out of the gate, it's more of the kind of the one of the faster tracks, and it's got a great bass line. So That one caught my eye first thing. Number one, Dealer.
For Yanya, the album is Painless. Yeah, and I knew this started to get some indie rock press, and I remembered. I've heard of this before from Jeremiah. So you were on it.
Yeah, really. I think it's a strong kind of second album to her portfolio, and it's not as kind of catchy and upbeat as the first full length album, But I think it's strong all the way through, which I like. It feels like it's even late, deep into the album, it's good. Sometimes it's kind of mellow for me, like I'd like it to pick up a little bit, or that builds at the end, some of them mm-hmm. kind of build like, in 2/3 of the way in kind of, really kind of heartbreaking lyrics at times. I like it. You guys should buy it. Go to Bandcamp, buy the album.
All right. I'll make a pick. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and pick number 8, Try.
Try and play the song. Try to call me song. Hard to think because you're so lonely. Still cold here, face down, no tears. Try and say this song, try and hold me so hard to force because girl you're so lonely. Things get strange here, no skies. I'm not sure I got this.
I like the fast drum beat tracks also, but I think that's a pretty good contrast, pretty strong track.
Yeah, definitely. That kind of brought out that kind of like Sade similarity, I think. You know, she can, you can feel kind of her emotion in her voice and just, I think, very talented young woman. So
definitely. Yep. Well, one more track. Back to you.
Yeah. Let's see. I really like number 10. It's kind of slow at first, but then it picks up. If you could maybe at least play through like a minute 40 or something. Number 10, Belong to You.
Please don't cry. I've run out of patience. I had enough your reasons why. Sick of this. I don't even like you, bitch. That's enough, don't use me like. I don't know if it's over.
Yeah, that was a good build-up.
Yeah, a lot of her songs are kind of like that, where they, you know, kind of is slow and kind of build a kind of emotion and then kind of unleash the guitars and reverb later in the song.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, and then it, you know, it has a good bass line that's always a good you know, hook for me to just even, you know, usually pick out when I look at my picks for a lot of the songs. Usually they're, I'll mostly have a strong bass line. Probably for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. All right.
Check out Painless.
Nilufer Yanya. And there's two dots over the U, so that kind of throws me off, like wondering whether I'm pronouncing it right. But
Me neither. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Same with another, with that one of our other guests. I'm sure I'm going to butcher their name.
Right.
But
exactly.
Please forgive us. We mean the best.
Well, why don't we do that one next? Let's see how well we can pronounce this.
Right. Also because they speak French. So I'm like, oh yeah, how do you say their name in French? It's like, oh my goodness. So we're talking about Charlotte Adigre and Boles Poupoul. I'm sure it's pronounced totally different than that.
Pretty good attempt there, I'd have to say.
And I don't know, Charlotte. I don't know with French. Charlotte Adigare. I don't know. Adigare, maybe. That's probably how they would say it more. So, yeah, I don't know French, obviously. So, and their new album, Tropical Dancer, or their first full length, actually, they had an EP that that they did together, but it, I think, came out just in her name. They've worked together for years, and so this one, you know, they put both their names on it, so that was good. And yeah, I mean, gosh, it's what it's how to describe this music. I heard this one song. They do this kind of like, you know, 15 top new songs of the week or whatever little podcast I listen to, and it caught my ear like in December. I was like, what is this? This is ridiculous. Like, like so ridiculous that I liked it.
Yeah.
You know me, I like ridiculous stuff. So, but in a really amazing, you know, creative, talented way, you know, and how, what caught me on that first track was like, they would, she basically takes her voice and chops it up and creates the song with it, you know, or the almost the percussion in it, or not really percussion, but yeah, just sampling her own songs and her own laughter and stuff. It's really quite innovative, I think. And it's, you know, it kind of is like a fun dance electronic album at the same time dealing with really important, difficult issues in society. And you know, in Bandcamp, they, here's how they describe them in Bandcamp: cultural appropriation and racism, social media vanity, post-colonialism and political correctness. These are not talking points that you'd ordinarily hear on the dance floor, but Charlotte Adige and Bolis Popul are ripping up the rule book with their music. So it's kind of, you know, dealing with heavy subjects, but then in kind of in a light way, which can be yeah, it's I don't know how to, yeah, it's just, it's interesting the way, I mean, it's, I may think it also, it doesn't, you know, cause sometimes it, you know, it could be too kind of didactic, you know, and people try to take on, you know, big things and are real literal about it. And so I think they have, they do a nice balance of being able to kind of bring issues to light, but without maybe, hitting you over the head with it. And, so they were, I think they're both French, but now they live in Belgium. And, her family is, kind of from the Caribbean, from Guadeloupe. And, he is, Boris is from, I think, Macau. It was hard to find much information about him, but I think it's maybe the first artist we've had from Macau.
Seems like it might be, yeah.
But, yeah, and they were just – so anyway, I got to see him in Bristol, and it was, like, such a fun show. It was at Rough Trade, and interesting opening act as well. And, you know, it was fun to go. They have, like, one of those, like, photo booths, you know. And so me and the kids like took photos and stuff, and then you get out and they have taped up all the different bands that it played there that did the photo booth, you know? So it was, yeah, it was fun. You'd see all these, you know, bands, audio books and different bands on there that, and they were just such like, you know, cause with this like subject matter could be really heavy, you know, but they had such like light and love and kind of openness to the crowd and made it really fun. And, so it just, they kind of like stole my heart. And then I had to like, I was outside actually doing a work call with a client afterwards, like around the corner and of the place before I went to the UV TV show across the street. And then she comes walking by and she turns, she's like, "Hey, wait, you were in the show. Thanks so much." So I had to like pause my, I'm sorry, with the client, like, "Oh, sorry, excuse me, I got to put you on hold." Like, had this nice little conversation with her, like, what a like very sweet person. And she just did like had, she had to be rushing back to the hotel to like nurse her 7-month-old baby. Yeah, I think it's 7 months is what she said. Yeah, so, you know, on the album cover, she's pregnant, and then so now they had the baby, and they're on tour with the baby, so it's kind of amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, it just they just are very sweet people, so that was fun to talk to her. And yeah, well, I guess I've talked enough. Let's what should we play? Maybe let's just go straight for one of the bangers, huh? Number 3, Blenda.
I will take my turn at butchering the name. Charlotte Adigere and Bolas Poupoul. That's probably pretty close, right?
Right. Yeah, I think probably. So I think that song's talking, I think even the name of it's Blenda, and I think that's kind of a derogatory term, at least what I think, for like, you know, people with mixed families. And so it's kind of like that, you know, obviously I think her lyrics you can make out they're pretty good, but you know, go back to your country, you know, Siri, can you tell me where I belong? You know, stuff like that. So it's, it's really, you know, taking on serious issues, but with in kind of a lighthearted way, or in not too much of a, you know, in kind of a more poppy, fun sensibility. So, what did you think about this album?
It's a fun album. It's got a lot of variety and is sort of experimental in some ways, don't you think? It's not just
pop art or something, you know.
It's not straight ahead songs as much as the last one, you know, for a lot of it. So there's one that I kept coming back to, like when I'd be listening and be like, wait a minute, I got to remember this one. but I don't know if I'm going to do it justice because it's a 5.5 minute track, but you'll get an idea. It's number 5, It Hit Me. Thank you.
me, it hit me, yep. Suddenly, it hit me.
That's a fun one. I was reading the lyrics as I was just playing that for the first time.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's basically like, you know, kind of, you know, her realizing like, oh, wow, now I'm being, you know, viewed as a sex object, basically, instead of just a little girl. And
right.
And just that kind of whole reality. And then he talks about, it's kind of hard to tell with his voice there, but he distorts it quite a bit. But, you know, I think also him kind of coming to his, you know, and, you know, realizing his sexuality, or kind of, you know, that moment when we're kind of preteen or whatever, and we kind of start realizing like, oh, this is whole other, you know, world, or and this whole other like social constructs of, you know, whatever, what body I'm in and who I'm attracted to and what's who's attracted to me in this whole like confusing world that unfolds from there. It's that's a good one too. I really liked it. And that one live was great. I mean, that was a really fun one. And he plays bass, and then he does all the synths and percussion. She does a little bit of percussion, and then mostly just sings. And I think she writes all the lyrics, or most of the lyrics and stuff. But then he'll play bass live as well, and then kind of get the song going, and with some other electronic stuff, and then come in with the bass. So yeah, it's good stuff. I like it. At least it's really fun, super fun live, actually. So I got hooked once I saw him live.
Cool. Well, let's play one more track.
It's hard to choose. I really like pretty much the whole album. You know, and some of them that are in French and Creole, I don't know what they're saying, but they're really catchy as well. Maybe let's, like you said, it's kind of experimental, and so maybe we just choose one that's kind of like that, that's, you know, just this is the first one that kind of I heard and kind of caught my eye and got me start listening to them. And it's kind of ridiculous, so let's go for that. Number 12, Ha Ha.
Ha ha ha!
Yeah, I had that one on my short list also.
Trying to seeing them live do that, it's kind of amazing because she'll like start singing, or she'll start laughing, and then he'll kind of, I guess, record it and then kind of
repeat it,
chop it up on the keyboard, kind of. It's pretty amazing, like how they do it. But you know, and then the chorus is like her sobbing and crying. It's so, you're just like, what is this? The first time I heard that song, I was like, oh my goodness, got to check this out. This is crazy. So I just think they're kind of just really pushing the boundaries, and both kind of, you know, lyrically and musically, and I really like this album. I think it's strong pretty much throughout, you know. So go check it out. Support them on Bandcamp.
Very cool. It's so cool that you got to see them live. And then
that was,
you know,
fun.
Yeah.
And they were just so like usually it's like you kind of have to approach someone from the band, right? And it was just like, I was like a block and a half away, and she was like, had taken off all of her fancy, you know, stage clothes, and her, you know, she just had a hat on. I didn't even know who it was. She's like turned and was like, hey, you're at the show. And I thought she was in the audience. It was like, and then I would be like, oh, it's you. Oh, and she's like, thank you so much. That's great. And then we started talking, and she's super sweet. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Good people. Good people in the world out there.
If we were really more, you know, professional, you would have started recording on your phone and said, "Could we conduct an interview here?"
Right.
We never do that.
Got a little sound. I was on the phone. That was a problem with the problematic client, and so I was a little distracted. She had called me like 5 times through the show.
Oh my God!
Work. It was just like, so now I'm on the phone trying to like put out a fire and then try to switch gears and smile, but. So anyway, it'd be fun. So, be fun to see them more. And I think they're on tour. We just missed them in Brighton as well when we were in Brighton, but they played the night before we got there or something. But, so check it out. Buy their album on Bandcamp. Support these amazing creative people.
Do it. The spelling will be on the title of the podcast. So you can get it from there.
Right.
Even if you probably, if you spelled it slightly wrong, you would still find it because it's so, you know, uncommon in terms of like, you know, names that you'd be searching for the United States at least.
Right, exactly. Unlike the next band.
Right.
You search that with the name of their band.
Yeah. All right. Well, transition. That's a good transition. We're going to go back to some American indie rock, right? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're from Brooklyn, aren't they? Like total indie rock, American indie
rock. Yeah, I think you're pretty. And this album is pretty kind of New York centric, it feels like.
So, we're talking about Bodega. This is their second album. And their first album, I loved it so much. What a great album. And I think Craig saw them live. I have not seen them live. But they've got this kind of party band kind of, you know, it seems like they want to emphasize the having fun component, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The first album had just some really great songwriting on it. And this album, I don't think it's quite as strong of an album, but I think that they are just, you know, a band that deserves to stay in the, you know, the attention of the indie rock people. So I thought we got to talk about this album. The second album by Bodega, and it's called Broken Equipment. And maybe we just play a track and we'll go from there. I thought that I think my favorite one is number 4, which is called NYC Disambiguation.
Stone fort, some windmills, a small attempt at a canal.
That's Bodega. So I was trying to do the band comparison game with this album a little bit.
Right.
I think there's a little kind of Pavement kind of thing going on there, I think, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And then in other parts of the album, there's a little bit of sort of dancier LCD sound system stuff, I think. So there's some variety on it. I think a few of the tracks in this album, they're just a little too straightforward in terms of the melodies. Like, they're kind of just going for the, we're trying to be a fun band. And so it's not quite as strong as the first one. I'd say like half of it is, you know, really solid, like the first album, and the other half is not as great, but probably would still be pretty good live, I think. So
yeah,
still positive on this band, Bodega.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of agree that, yeah, I like the first album the first album a lot. Well, not a lot more, but a chunk more. And it feels like, for me at least, the first part of the album of this one is stronger for me, I think. But yeah, it's, I guess when it's kind of like a punchy kind of post-punk band, like, then, I think you can run into some challenges if you're trying to write love songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall I really like it. And, they also kind of remind me, a little bit of, The Wants. I think the two women used to be in The Wants, or still are, and or used to be in Bodega, or something like that. Like, there was some crossover between a couple of people. So I can kind of hear that a little bit at times.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that, I really like this album overall. But I think I like the first part, you know, the first half of the album a little bit more. Let me see. Boy, I don't want to be stereotypical again, but really one of my favorite songs is number one, Throne.
All right, let's do it. There are no rules.
I'm going for straight down number one.
Bodega. So I think I figured out the formulaic reason why we might like this, because it's got right. It's got the talk singing or pretty close to it, but mm-hmm. then that's kind of mixed with actual singing, right? So you can like do the talking part and then the chorus is a singing part, which is kind of a fun contrast, I think.
That's true. So, yeah, That track, I think, was kind of a little more like the last album, I think. I don't know. You know, that strong bass line always hooks me too. And kind of see a little bit of the, you know, hear a little bit of the Wants in there and maybe even Parquet Courts or something. Fun album, fun band. I bet they'd be great to see live. So.
Yep. All right. I'll play one more. And I guess, I'm going to agree with you. I had more picks in the early part of the album. I will say that there's an interesting kind of ballad at the end. It's not a piano ballad. It's kind of a ballad. And when I first heard it, I thought, this is an outlier. It doesn't really fit the album. But then I thought, it's actually a pretty good song. So I think it's worthy. But let's go back to, how can you not pick the song with a fun title like this? Territorial Call of the Female. Let's play that
one. That was one of my next pick.
Bodega.
Yeah, fun.
Pretty fun stuff.
That was my next pick. And then, of course, had a good bass line.
Yeah, of course. Got to have that. That's the theme of the week.
Yeah.
We can always have a bass theme as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
Stuff. Go support these people. More good music to buy.
Do it. Absolutely. We're not going to run out of music, are we? Do you ever think there's so many bands at South by Southwest. I kept thinking like, are there going to be enough bands that I've actually heard, you know? And it's like over the course of a year, we listen to so much music. So that's kind of why it's like a good event for us, right? Because there's always going to be like a lot of them and it's going to be different every time. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was even looking at that, the Primavera Sound. Have you looked at that lineup? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like,
I have in the past. I don't know if I've looked at this year's
bands or something. And if they're, it's pretty amazing. Most of it's sold out, but then they do two weekends. But then the week in between, they do a bunch of small venues, and it almost seems like it'd be like South by Southwest in Barcelona. Basically.
Oh yeah,
with all the smaller bands that are like, and in like six different venues, you know, for like four nights, like Monday through Thursday or something. That part was like, oh, I'd almost rather go to that than the big, you know, Jumbotron part of the
part
of the festival, you know. So
that's interesting. Yeah, cool.
And then they also have the Porto one, the one in in Portugal, in Porto.
Oh yeah, yep.
Like a kind of a smaller version too, but it's just South by so fun. Oh my goodness, that's so. Are you going to do the one in Brighton? What's that one called?
Oh, that's The Great Escape.
Great Escape, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Can't do it this year, but it's on the general, you know, the general list to some year do. I think it would be right. Cool.
Exactly. That's how I put it off till next year. Like, okay, maybe, because we were just there. So we're like, I'm not going to go back. But and then this year, it seems like they're still kind of getting more. It's mostly just British bands, I think, this year. Or mostly, you know, not all. Mm-hmm. But so hopefully things will loosen up with traveling and it'll have a little bit more of a international flair next year. But anyway, this Bodega album I really like. And Jerry will probably go buy it on Bandcamp.
Well, we hope that's the goal all the time, isn't it? Like, we pick out our bands, we're like, can we get Jerry to buy it?
Exactly. No, it's great. He's so supportive. It's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Well-deserved support.
All right. It's now that time.
What time is it?
Bonus.
That time.
Song of the week. It's the bonus. Song of the week.
I was so prepared that I found my bonus song of the week yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Almost 24 hours ago. That's like pretty good prep, right?
That is good. You saw me on my phone.
Like, oh no, I got to find one.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll do mine first, and then if you need a little time to hone in to the perfect song, you can do that.
I quickly picked one. We'll see. I tend to overthink things, so don't give me the chance. Let's just go for it. So, I'm excited to hear what you come up with.
I've probably touched on this band from time to time. Whether we've played them on the podcast, I can't remember. But it's my old favorite Cocteau Twins.
Nice.
I always in my mind called them the Cocteau Twins, but I don't think the is supposed to be there. So all the albums just say Cocteau Twins. So let's call them that. The album that gets written up a lot, that, you know, in the old, you know, shoegaze, post-punk or whatever, great albums, you always read about the Heaven or Las Vegas album.
Mm-hmm,
and right. I loved that album. But they have some other ones that are kind of, I would say, you know, by comparison, kind of underrated. And the one I'm going to talk about is called Bluebell Knoll. And that's, I think it came out in 1988. I'm just looking up the discography right now. I think the three consecutive albums, Bluebell Knoll, Heaven or Las Vegas, and then Four Calendar Cafe, they came out in 1988, 1990, and 1993. That was a great string of three albums.
Yeah, exactly.
And they only have eight albums.
Okay. I thought there was more than that.
Yeah, because they're veterans. They have some EPs. So these are the ones, I guess, that are considered considered full length. They're another like 10 EP length things. But you know, this is a band that you might just love or hate them, you know, because there's especially vocally, Elizabeth Fraser, the singer. It's probably not for everybody. It's like, for some people, it's probably like, I don't want to listen to this weird kind of wailing woman. But I have always thought that the way that that her voice combined with the kind of shoegazy style of the mm-hmm. music was just pretty amazing. So here's a song that you'll love or hate, but you can't deny the power of the vocal performance. So from the Bluebell Knoll album, number 3, Carolyn's Fingers.
Just as dead to life.
Cocteau Twins.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That takes me right back to high school. It was like my junior year in high school.
I was a little bit older then, but oh man, classic.
Good stuff. Yeah.
So we probably almost, in the if I were to list my favorite live shows that I've seen, I saw them in 1994 in Milwaukee. Oh my God. Nice. Unbelievable. Just fantastic.
Yeah. Just those kind of like dancing, kind of like shimmering guitars and then her voice too, kind of bouncing along up in the clouds. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. Yeah. And as a live band, they had a couple extra people. And you know, in their recordings, it's pretty much all drum machine, I think. But the live band had, I think, two extra people, and you know, a live drummer, and just a fantastic kind of wall of sound with with her standing there in the middle doing her crazy vocals.
Right.
Pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, I never really thought of them kind of as shoegaze, but that is, I mean, kind of dovetails right into that. So
yeah, I think so. All right, now it's your turn.
Okay, well, we'll see if people have stayed on this long. They're up for another little gem, I think. This I stumbled on, this artist Chrissy Zebe Tembo. There was I guess a genre that I just found out about a couple months ago called Zamrock. And there was, I guess, this really amazing kind of alternative rock scene in the 70s in Zambia, kind of mixing, almost like I don't know, Jimi Hendrix with James Brown and Black Sabbath or something. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. But it's just like, wow, when I heard some of this album, or heard a couple tracks in this album, was like, wow, this is really cool. I think I mentioned it on our little chat group, and Nick knew about Zamrock before, because I think he'd spent some time in Africa in the 80s or something. But so Chrissy Zebe Tembo, and then just amazing, like, butt fuzzed out guitars by let's see, who's the guitarist? Paul Ngozi. And I think it says kind of like family, kind of played on this album with Chrissy. Chrissy Zebe Tembo, he's playing the drums and vocals, and I think wrote the music. But his song, I just love this song called Fisherman. It's number 6 on their My Ancestors album, which was just re-released by Mississippi Records. First, originally came out in 1976. But it's, yeah, like some serious guitar fuzz. Check it out.
Fishermen come out from the river. The waves are coming to blow you out. Oh, fishermen, come out, please. See, everybody is running away. Oh, people, let's say, oh, fishermen, please. Fishermen, oh, fishermen, please. Fishermen, don't die, fishermen, swim. Life is good, full of joy. You can't die so soon, fishermen, please.
Chrissy Zebe Tembo. That's okay. People who didn't make it to the end of the podcast are missing out. The guitar sound is so great. It's so simple. It's like it kind of reminds me of the first time when I was like 18 and I was trying to make distortion, but I didn't have an amp, so I just plugged my guitar into a tape deck and pegged the meters and turned it all the way up, and it just made this fuzz sound. It was sort of like that. I love it. It's so great. You're right. It sort of has this little bit of a Black Sabbath sound, but it's also just so basic. It's not, obviously it's not like a big pedal board, you know.
It's kind of amazing. When I found that album, I was like, oh my goodness. And then they go down the rabbit hole of all the other Sam Rock bands or some of the other ones, but it almost kind of reminds me, have you ever heard of that Kigaku Moyo? I think that's how you say it. Kigaku Moyo.
I don't think so.
From Tokyo, but it's like a psych rock band. I think they just are about to put out their last album. They said they're breaking up, but I saw them last November and it was kind of like that same vibe. Pretty amazing. It was just like, whoa, I don't know if I listen to this all the time, but seeing it live was pretty awesome. This band, I'm sure it was fun in the 70s too. But so yeah, little morsel at the end of the couple little morsels. I guess that should be more than $0 worth.
God, I sure hope so. I think it definitely was. All right. Well, I'm glad to catch you when you're in the country, you know.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Yeah. I haven't had that much time to kind of delve into new stuff. So it's good homework for me.
Yeah. Well, there's some fun stuff coming out. One of these weeks we'll get Wet Leg on, probably not. We won't get them on the podcast because they're too famous. They would never come on the podcast. But I think Craig is on the lineup for that one, but he's not available in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to leave the listeners hanging on our impressions of Wet Leg. Maybe if we just keep saying Wet Leg, though, the voice recognition, you know, will catch, you know, it'll make us basically, the podcast will be, we'll get like thousands of downloads, right? We should just, every time I do the tags for the podcast, I should put Wet Leg on there just to try to get more listeners.
That's so funny. Well, I think maybe they're even, I know they're big in, I think they're from the Isle of Wight or something, but big in Europe, but it was interesting on the, like in Europe, they're kind of still at the small font on the festivals, and then here they're in bigger font already. Like you kind of see where the promoters are, what they're thinking when they're putting out the set lists or the you know, posters for the, you know, in different parts of the world. Like, oh, okay, maybe they're not as big in there or bigger here or whatever. So yeah, I think it seems like they're getting a lot of press for their first album. That's for sure.
I knew a guy who did, I still kind of know him, but I haven't seen him in a while. A guy who did political data analysis, and this was his job. And candidates would hire him to do what they call voter files. So it'd be like the profile of like who all the voters are everywhere, right? And all the demographics, I guess, and all that stuff, you know? And you can just imagine these festival organizers. It probably comes down to just some terrible, horrible, cold calculation, right? How many Spotify plays do you have, you know? And they can probably break it down of like where the downloads are coming from and where the plays are coming from and how many Twitter followers do you have and how many TikTok views and all this stuff. that is probably only that just cold data that determines what size your font is on the poster for the music festival, right?
Oh my gosh.
So I prefer to not like microanalyze that much. So
say if we like it or not.
Yep.
Do we like it? Do we not?
Right.
But we pretty much are self-selecting where we pretty much, if we have it on the podcast, we pretty much like it.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It's not so fun to be critical.
No. No fun at all. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I know this was kind of early for you. And my weekend is really busy, so I think I'm going to – this is one of those where it's going to be a little tight for editing by the usual Sunday night. If it's not out Sunday, it'll be out Monday night, but it's about 50-50 right now, I'd say.
So, I gave you some extra work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thanks. Stay in touch.
Thank
keep that, our behind-the-scenes chat going where we're kind of cluing each other into all the fun new music that we hear.
Exactly.
And we'll keep it going. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.